Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, I was, even while we were praising and worshiping, even at the offering time, I was watching, I was thinking about a coin. And a coin has a heads and it has a tails. And there's two sides to that coin. And God says we're the head, not the tail. God says we're blessed. But there's another side of that coin. Amen? So as we look at the word today, listen to what the Spirit of God says through the word, because God is constantly, I don't know about you, but he's constantly challenging me. Amen? Why is he challenging me in his word? Because he loves us so much. Amen? And sometimes when you think that when there's a word comes and it doesn't feel good to you sometimes, it isn't meant for your good, but I'm sure my daddy didn't spank me when I was a child just because he wanted to spank me. I probably messed up. Amen? I'll take that back. I did mess up, and my daddy spanked me. All right? Amen? Fess up. But the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, before we get into our text today and where the Lord has taken us, he said in verse number 17, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And when I look at that, the Lord's saying, hey, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Amen? And actually, we're to be standing out in this world, we're not to be mixing in. And the tendency with the body of Christ in the last days is we're trying to mix in to be part of the world, thinking that we're going to reach the world by being the world, but we're becoming the world and not the children of God. And when God had delivered the children out of Babylon, and Prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 51, so let's go back to Jeremiah 51 for our text today. Verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon. Babylon's representing the world, just like Egypt and the pleasures and the treasures of this world. And against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me and destroy a destroying wind. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. Then he reminds the children of God, for Israel have not been forsaken, neither Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon have been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly falling and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. And let us go every one into his own country, and her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and lifteth up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Today I want to focus our attention to verse number 5. where he says, for Israel have not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. I titled this, "The Date, a Date with Fate." And there's blessings and there's cursings. There's favor and there's disfavor. You know, Jesus made it simple in Matthew 25. He gave a parable of 10 virgins. Five were ready and five were not. Amen. And God wants you and I to be prepared and ready because his coming is near. God is at the door. We're in the last days. If there's ever been a last days, we're surely in the last days because everything has been fulfilled according to God's word. In other words, so many times when we think that there's plenty of time left, God's saying we need to wake up. Amen. Because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Amen. So today I want to share three or four things with you, depending on where it goes. I want to talk to you about he is faithful, he is forgiving, and he is forging. Forging is progressively moving ahead. And he is, in closing, he is forewarning us. Amen. So let's lift the word and make a declaration in the house together. Smile, Jesus loves you. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word. You sent your word here to me today. To minister to my heart and my soul. Thank you, Jesus, that you called me and you set me apart for a time such as now. I pray, Lord, that the God in me arises and the enemy is scattered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you anointed me and that you appointed me for a time such as now. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Amen. Amen. I think the Holy Spirit wants to change something up. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. And I'm grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. I thank you for every man and woman that's in this room today. I thank you that you have a call on each and every one of our lives. There's no accident that we're in this atmosphere today. So, Father, I thank you, Father God, that as your word goes forth, it'll accomplish what you sent it to do. And when it's completed, that all glory, all honor, and all praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, Father, I pray. Speak through this vessel, Father God. May the words that speak come from my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, as I was thinking about how faithful God is, you know, sometimes when I look around and I don't see the things that I desire to see and that I hope to see, and sometimes my heart begins to become discouraged because I don't see what I was hoping and desiring to see, all of a sudden, God gives me a rewind of things that he's done. You know, it's just a quick little picture. It's like it goes forth and it goes boom, 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 boom. And he was so faithful. He was so faithful. And it always seemed like he always showed up in the midnight hour. I don't know what it is about 11:59, but he always shows up. He's never late. Amen. So first thing we want to get in our hearts today is he is faithful. With this in mind, turn me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. Joshua, the son of Nun. The word of God, the Father is speaking to Joshua. And he's encouraging Joshua, and Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. And God wants you to get this in your heart, that he is faithful. He said, told Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then he said this, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You know, when I read the word of God says it belongs to us. The ground that we step on, we take and we proclaim for the kingdom of God. I'm taking things back that belong to me. And God desires for you and I as children of faith to take things that belong to him. Now, there's a great transfer of wealth. And some people were confused about the time of the transfer of wealth. I believe the full transfer of the wealth is the wicked will not be here, and everything that's left in this world will be transferred to the church. The church will reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Hello? Hello? That doesn't mean that God doesn't bless you now, but if your head's into money, you're going to get all kinds of funny. Amen? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And why men have coveted after, they pierce themselves. In other words, it isn't the love of money. God's going to bless us. God takes care of us. His face shines upon us. We're, like he said, we're blessed going and coming. We have the favor of the Lord. But he tells us to be strong and be of good courage. He says he is faithful to do it. We have to trust in him. Amen? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 54, faith's coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Amen. Verse number 10. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, by faith we have to hold on. He is faithful, so you and I need to be faithful. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11, he says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. We know that he's been faithful. He's calling for us to be faithful. So he says in Isaiah 54:10, he says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be moved, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. Covenant of peace. We walk into peace. We're to have the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, because we have the Prince of Peace that lives inside of us. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the words of Jesus. In other words, when you look at a covenant, and we're seeing the covenant of God, a covenant is a two-party agreement. God says he'll do his part. We have to do our part. We're working hand in hand with the kingdom of God. Amen? So, look to your neighbor and say, he is faithful.
He is faithful.
Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 5. We're going to change what we speak. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof, we have to be careful what we're saying. Amen? The word of God says in verse number 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me say something to you. If you can't find peace where you're at, you're not going to get peace by something else added to you. Hello? Hello? And when we find peace where we're at, then God can bless us. Then God's not going to give you something to destroy you. The devil will give you things to destroy you, not our Father. He says, be content so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen? No matter what, he's our very present help in the time of need. Look at your neighbor and say, he is faithful. Amen? One thing I love about our Lord, not only is he faithful, but he is forgiving. Amen? He's forgiving. How many needs forgiveness in the room? Praise God. He's speaking to everyone here then. Turn with me to Psalms 103. Verse number 11. The psalmist says this. He says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. His mercy towards them that fear him. That word fear is to have reverence or reverence for him. He says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In other words, if I don't have reverence for him, he doesn't have pity for me. If I want to be all strong-headed, he said, go ahead and learn your lesson. Amen. You know, he'll allow us to do whatever. Not that he doesn't love us, but he'll help those who help themselves. In other words, Amen. You know, so when we're looking at an agreement or a contract, he forgives us. And the biggest thing, I want to speak about that for a second, and I wasn't going here, but I got to go here because the Holy Spirit said it. He says, if we will not forgive our brothers and sisters their faults, God won't forgive us. In other words, we can't be hanging on to junk from the past. You know, sometimes we just got to release. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6, he says, he's that is spiritual, restore the one. And meekness. In other words, we're to have a forgiving heart. I don't know about you, but let me say this to you. I know for a fact I didn't deserve the forgiveness that God gave me. I didn't deserve it, but by his love and his mercy and his grace, he forgave me. But not only did he forgive me, but he wiped away all of my sins, not to be remembered again. And he says, I'm not remembering them anymore. Why do you keep going back? Why do you keep looking back? Shut the door and leave it closed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Stop trying to change yesterday. You can't do anything but yet from yesterday. Amen. Ask forgiveness, forgive one another, and move on. Hallelujah. I mean, people, Christian people, children of God, that hate their moms and dads because they did something. How can you hate your mom and dad? How can you hate your mom and dad and be a child of God? And that doesn't mean you have to like what they did, but you love them as Christ loved. Christ's love is unconditional. It's unmerited. In other words, I'm going to love you whether you deserve it or not. In other words, and when you do something to irritate me, or if I do something to irritate you, I'll probably irritate you more than you will irritate me. Amen? But if you do something to irritate me, I remind myself I love them and I've forgiven them already. Then my mouth isn't going to say those things. I'm guarding my tongue. I'm learning to watch my mouth. Amen? I think from watching my mouth, I'm almost going cross-eyed. Because I got a big mouth. Hallelujah. I'm an outspoken guy. You know, I'm not one of them introverts. I'm an extrovert, okay? And I'm outspoken. So I've got to watch how I speak. And God wants you to know that he is a forgiving God and that God loves you and he forgives you. And I look at me in Colossians chapter 2. I don't know if you know it or not, but this is really good preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Word of God says this. You know why it's good preaching? Because it's God's Word. You know, he sent his Word to heal my disease. It's his Word that transforms and changes us. You know, when in Colossians 2, he's talking about the baptism, but I want to go to verse number 13. Just to remind us of God's faithfulness and his forgiveness. He says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him. Or he's zupoio, he made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen? Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, he is forgiving. I'm forgiven because he's forsaken.
I'm forgiven because he is forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, that brings joy to my heart, my life. You know, and he reminds me, turn me to 1 Corinthians, where was I? It was all somewhere. Oh, here I am. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I don't know where I was. I was in Colossians. Oh, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Pardon me. My head got out of the game. I want you to get a hold of this because this is so important. This is so important for children of God to maintain and keep everything that's purchased for you. In other words, God heals. God healed you 2 years ago, approximately 2 years ago, of COPD. And the first thing the devil tried to do to you when you came up with something is bring that name back into your thoughts. Oh, I thought that was gone. All of a sudden, and it was a lie. It was a deception of the adversary. It was another avenue the adversary was trying to come, but he's trying to bring back what God had already done in your life. Amen. And he says to you and I, to watch what we see. Say, in verse 33, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He says in verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In other words, The Apostle Paul said in Romans 6, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. I want you to understand something with me today, that the one that's living in you is greater than the one that's in this world, and you can overcome everything he tries to tempt you with. Let no man say when he is tempted, he is tempted by God, because God does not tempt with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away with their own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin, and when sin is finished, it becomes death, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life now and forever. Not just gonna be raised from the dead one day. No, it's Zoe life. It's the life of God in you and I now. Man, we serve a now God. We serve a here and now God. We don't have to wait to this, or we don't have to wait for that. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross of Calvary, it was completed, it was done, and it's up for you and I by faith to walk in this finished work. Amen. He says he is faithful. Not only that, he is a forgiving God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for forgiveness. Amen. Anybody with me? He's also, he is forging. Forging, one of the definitions of to forge is to steadily move forward. There's no going back, but we're moving ahead. Amen? So look with me in Isaiah chapter 52. Are you with me? In Isaiah 52:10, the prophet Isaiah prophesies in verse number 10. He says, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, he's telling me that I'm going to walk in holiness. You know why I'm walking in holiness? Because holiness lives inside of me. Amen. Hello? You're bearing the vessel of God. He says, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward, or he'll have your backside. In other words, God not only goes in front of us, but he's got us behind us. He encompasses us as about. He circles us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. With that in mind, forging forward, look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Can I share something with you? I'll be just transparent with everybody. I've been battling the Lord all week about preaching this word. Amen? And the Lord said, the time is near. The Lord has said that, that we have to wake up. That it's close. He's right at the door. And we think we have all the time to do this and we do that. But God says, my coming is near. He says to prepare my church as his bride to be ready to receive her husband. And I know sometimes we think because of this world that we live in that everything's okay because society says it's okay. But God says it is not. God says it is not. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change. My word will not change. It's the only steady thing in this chaotic world that you have to hold on to. And he says to you and I in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he says to you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica, you know, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Amen? He says to us, so not to have fellowship with unbelievers. We're in this world, but we're not the fellowship. We're not to laugh at darkness. We're actually to reprove darkness. Sometimes he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Sometimes you've got to do what's right in front of everybody else that's wrong to show that God's alive. And God's alive. And they say, well, I don't see God alive. Why they don't see God alive? They're not seeing God alive in you and I. Because God is alive. He's alive in you, and he's alive in me, and the Spirit of God wants to quicken the God in you. He wants to stir up the gifts of God that are in us. He wants us to move in the fullness of his power and might. Amen. Amen. I see the Lord, and I see this great battle at the end, and I see him as the victor. And there's a great amount of souls that are coming in these last days. And most of the souls that are coming to the Lord in the last days, the church is going to come back alive. Amen. He's going to revive his church. He says he comes into the church first and into the world. He's going to resurrect the church. Amen. He's going to get us back on fire. Amen. And you get, and sometimes we get religious and we get complacent and we get apathetic and we do things just because that's what we do. And our heart and our spirit isn't flowing with it. God wants the Spirit of Christ to arise in you and I. And as Christ arises in us, the enemy will be scattered and this place will be packed. It'll be packed because we're on fire with God. Amen. And if we're on fire with God, fire draws. Fire doesn't scare away. Fire draws men and women to him. Amen. This is a fire that's burning up the chaff. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5, he says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you have received of us. The Apostle Paul spoke, and the word is written by the inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when Paul's saying the tradition that they're following not tradition chicken. Amen. They're following the word. He sent his word and he healed our diseases. So in closing today, in Micah chapter 2, Prophet Micah. Verse number 10. He says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, talking about the things of this world, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall be even the prophet of this people, or a false prophet. The wine the Lord has for you and I, I'm not saying that you can't drink wine for the stomach. A little wine's good for the stomach. I'm not gonna get into the alcohol thing. But the wine that the Lord wants us to drink is the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That new wine of the Holy Spirit keeps giving and giving and giving. You know, that's why he said, the Apostle Paul said, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And let me say something to you. Without being filled with the Spirit, you can't battle the battle that you're facing in this world today. You can't do it on your own strength. You need his power and you need his strength. What he is saying to you and I today, in closing today, he is saying, hey, God is faithful. He is a forgiving God. He is forging, but he's saying here, and I think what the Lord is saying to my heart, and I really need to get this to your heart today, he is forewarning. He is forewarning.